that God would manifest himself with us today. And that he would help us to understand his word. I would like to speak to you today about three curses. There are many curses spoken of in the scripture. Curses that men had placed upon them specifically for disobeying God, but I want to talk about three curses that affect us. What does it mean to curse? The word curse or cursed or accursed appears many times in the scriptures and it has varied meanings. To curse generally means to belittle or to demean or to diminish or lessen someone or something, or to invoke God to bring about misfortune, judgment, and punishment upon someone else. Or it is the judgment and punishment. One can also put himself under a curse in the sense of an oath or a covenant. If one makes a covenant or an oath and does not perform it, there will be consequences, hence a curse. In effect, a curse is the punishment following judgment, or that which results from not performing an oath or a covenant. Now, that's kind of the groundwork. So you can put yourself under a curse. Remember in Acts 23 where Paul was preaching and these men didn't like Paul's preaching, and they said in Acts 23:14, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul." Now, they didn't slay Paul, did they? They didn't get the job done. And I guess they died of starvation if they kept their oath. And their dying of starvation would have been their curse. And not upholding their oath, and if they did eat, they were still cursed because they didn't fulfill their oath. Do y'all get it? Now, being placed under a curse may be personally conditional to you. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, and this is Moses as he is speaking to the children that God delivered out of Egypt. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore," he says, "choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Now, this is a conditional curse. If they did what God said, what God laid out before them, life and death. And the blessings of obedience in following God is going to be a refresher of your life. It's going to sustain that life that you have, but disobedience to God and not adhering to His judgments and not adhering to His laws will bring forth the cursing. So the cursing is the punishment for not being obedient to whatever God says. Y'all got that? Or you may be placed under a curse by the action of others. You know how they were cursed through the 7th and 8th generation. Many times Scriptures talks about because of what you did, all your generations are going to be cursed until like the 7th or 8th. That was one that had a lot to do with Tamar and the curses of the house of Judah and all that. There's a lot of examples of it in the Scriptures, but I want to tell you one that touches you. When God gave the law to Adam, what was the law? There was only one thing. Of all of the trees of the garden, including the tree of life, thou mayest freely eat, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In that perfect state, I mean sinless state, that Adam was created in, what did he choose in that state? He chose death. He chose to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in so doing, the judgment and subsequent curse of God was placed upon him. This is the law of sin and death and the curse of it. Now, every conceived human being, notice I didn't say born, I said conceived human being from Adam, that came out of the loins of Adam and Eve, and ever since then, because Adam and Eve weren't conceived, they were created. Every conceived human being that ever has been on the face of the earth has been cursed by this curse and are under the curse or punishment of the law of sin and death. Now, there's a lot that goes into this. In Genesis 3 and 17, God tells Adam, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. There's nobody that's getting out from under that curse. This is the law of sin and death. So, all of humanity is placed under the curse of Adam. You know, God decreed that. God didn't bring it about. Adam brought it about. God decreed the punishment for it. And He hasn't changed it. Now, God, that was God's decree and Adam's action. The ground is cursed, and he and all humankind are cursed. All the creation is under the curse, death being the ultimate end. This is the law of sin and death. I want you to remember that. The law of sin and death. Death is the unquestionable proof that we're sinners. You want to know, I've heard some people say, people have actually told me, I used to be a sinner, but I'm not a sinner anymore. Wow. But I'm sure that lady, that sister that told me that, in Cage Cove, at the cemetery of the Primitive Baptist Church up there, I'm sure she's dead now. I'm not wishing her to be dead. I'm just sure that she probably is. She was an old lady when she talked to me about it. And the problem with that is we can get to the point where we think that we have gotten ourselves out from under the law of sin and death. And death is the greatest proof that we're sinners. Because if you weren't a sinner, guess what? This body wouldn't die. This body would never die if it was not full of sin. Now, so we're under that curse. God alone sets the bounds of cursing. We look around. Everywhere we look, bodies, our bodies are in decay, aren't they, Brother Chuck? Our minds decay. We get to the point where we forget things. We get to the point where we can't remember what we had for breakfast. We get to the point where our back starts hurting, our feet are hurting, and we are riddled with all manner of diseases and all kind of stuff. We look at our houses decay. I mean, our natural houses decay, don't they? Don't clean it. Don't fix leaks. Don't change the roof. Don't wash it on the outside and see how long it takes to fall in. Not long. Don't mow your grass and see how long it takes for your yard to get overrun. Don't weed your garden and see how hard it will be to reclaim. Everywhere we look, this world, it is in a state of decline. Are you happy you came yet? Everywhere you look, you see decay and death. And some people think that we're not under a curse. Oh, we're under a curse, all right. We were made to be under it by Adam's sin. God didn't take that curse back, and He never will until the Lord comes back. I hope your mind is thinking. I hope it is. Now, that curse we're made to be under. We can't help but be under that curse. God chose Israel on this earth to set His love upon them and for them to proclaim His name throughout the earth. And God further expounded on the law of sin and death by giving them things that they could understand when He gave Moses the Ten Commandments to give the children of Israel. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Remember the holy day, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. All those commandments God gave. And that is part of God's moral law. That's not all of God's moral law, but that's a great portion of God's moral law. And that is a conditional, I want you to hear me, that first curse was an unconditional curse. You can't help but get out, but be under that curse. This moral law is a conditional curse. Means if you do it, then you won't have to suffer the curse. Or the ramifications of disobedience. Have you tried to keep the Ten Commandments? I hope you have. Have you been successful? No, you haven't. And so, if you can't keep the moral law of God, you're under the curse. That's a second curse. First one's law, sin, and death. Second one's a moral law of God. It's a conditional curse. God further expounded on this curse, and I want you to know that not just the Israelites are under the moral law of God and obligated to keep it. Every human being that has ever been conceived and born into this world is under obligation to keep God's moral law. God never said it was all right for anybody to disobey Him. Wicked or righteous, don't matter. Everybody is under obligation to keep the moral law of God. On top of this moral law of God, God gave the Israelites a ceremonial law. Different than the moral law, but it further expounded on it. You know when it said, love thy neighbor as thyself? That gave rise to a bunch of the ceremonial laws. Included in this are God's, what was God's, the law of the priesthood, the Levitical law of the priesthood, and the sin, which included all the sin offerings and the free will offerings and the new moons and the feasts and even the Passover that they were under obligation to keep. All of those laws that God gave. He gave them civil laws, meaning how they're supposed to conduct the government. God gave them health laws that said, and He got so specific in that, He said, I want you to look at that scab and see if it's got a white hair in it or a black hair. You start reading the Old Testament about all the laws and all the qualifications that they had to keep in order to be obedient to God's law. And I'm telling you, you would be overwhelmed. It's overwhelming trying to keep the 10. It's overwhelming trying to keep the 1. And then you got all these other laws, and they were conditional. And God said, if you do these things, you'll inherit a blessing. If not, a cursing. So these conditional laws have a curse attached to them if they're not obedient to God. Are you finding a common theme to all these curses? What is it? Disobedience. Disobedience. And the farther we read in those, not only the moral law, and the more we study about what it means to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul, and loving our neighbor as ourself, which hang all the law and the prophets, we start studying about those laws, and those are demanding. They're very demanding, aren't they? And they too have a curse attached to them. But those things are conditional. A man may or may not love the Lord God with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul. And if he don't, he's under the curse or punishment of not doing it. But the more that you as a child of God read about the laws of God and what He demands in perfect obedience, the more it drives you to realize that you're disobedient and cannot keep it. Therefore, under the curse. Paul, I tell you what, I want to say that these Jews, these Israelites, some of them, especially the scribes and the Pharisees, and maybe many others, sought righteousness but couldn't find it. They thought that righteousness came by the works of the law or keeping the commandments of God and therefore not being under the curse. They sought their righteousness by their works, by performing all the duties that the law required. Now, I want you to turn your brains on this morning. Are you with me? I'm going to summarize what we've talked about so far. All humankind is under the unconditional curse by the sin of Adam and unable to recover ourselves back to the favor of God. Unable. All humankind is under the obligation to keep the conditional moral law of God and its curse because we're unable to keep it. We're cursed because we're unable to keep. In addition to being under these two laws, the Jews were under the ceremonial laws that God gave the priesthood, where all the offerings and pigeons and turtle doves and red heifers and lambs and goats and sheep, bullocks, all those sin offerings. So every human conceived since Adam is under the curse of the law and sin and death, and every human conceived since Adam is under God's moral law and its curse, if not kept. And just like, I want you to hear me, just like the Jews, anyone that adheres to any law and seeks to find their own righteousness by keeping any law or doing any works of any law is under a curse. Any law to find righteousness in the sight of God is under a curse. I want us to think about this. Galatians. Or you're under the curse of works. Now, I want to read something in Romans. We'll go to Galatians in a minute. I want us to listen to how Paul describes human beings. But it's not Paul that first penned it down. It was David in the Psalms. He says in chapter 3 and verse 9, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles." That means either you are a Jew or the nation of Israel, or you're not. There's only two groups of people under consideration in the whole humanity. Either you're a Jew or you're a Gentile. And Paul says, we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. That means they're under the curse of sin and death. And here he gives the explanation of the human condition. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. That sepulchre is a grave. That nothing comes out of that but stink and death. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps or snake is under their a poisonous snake is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, here we go, whatever the law says, it saith to them who are under the law. That's everybody. Who's under the law of sin and death? Everybody. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That means under the curse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. That's important. He's not concerned about how you look to me. He's not concerned about how I look to you. He's concerned about how you look to God in His eyes. Not mine, not yours. This justification is in God's eyes. Now, he says, "Thou no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." That's what Adam got when he ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, and then again, Galatians 3 and chapter 10. Let's start in 7. It's hard to start because in the middle. Know ye therefore that, and this is in Galatians 3 and 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. That's what the Jews called everybody else. Heathens. All the Gentiles, the heathen people. That God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, who God came to when he was a Gentile. Did y'all know that? There was no nation of Israel. There were no Jews. Abraham was a Gentile. Justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many, here it is, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things, not most things, not some things, not one thing, but all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So what does that mean? That means if you did 99% of the time you kept God's moral law or ceremonial law, it still wouldn't justify you in the sight of God, and you'd be guilty of them all. God demands perfect obedience. Are you glad you came? I hope you are. If we just read these things, if we just think about these curses, the weight for us would be so great that we would not have, we could not. We're incapable of not being under these curses. And the weight would drive us into great despair. But I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep reading. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Is there any man that's justified by the law in God's eyes? No. There's not any man. I don't care how good your mama was. I don't care how wonderful your father was. They're not good enough to be justified in the sight of God, in God's eyes. In your eyes, they were, weren't they? My mama was a gracious woman. If there ever was one. But bless her soul, she wasn't good enough to be justified in the eyes of God. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So he's separating the law and faith here, isn't he? Read verse 13. This is the third curse. We talked about the first two, the law of sin and death and the curse accompanying that. The moral law of God and the ceremonial law, the conditional laws of God that we can't get out from under that. If that's all the scripture said, and the only hope you had was someone putting some kind of law on you, whether you had to pray a prayer, whether you had to whether you had to be baptized, or whether you had to make a confession before the church, or whether you had to do good things in order to go to heaven, all of it is a conditional ceremonial law that has a curse attached to it, because if you don't do it, you're gone. You ain't going. You're just not going to heaven. The Bible and grace has a better story, better news for you than that. Let's read. Here it is. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, listen. That is balm for a gaping, bleeding wound, isn't it? That is comfort to a weary soul. That is the ease to a burdened man. That is the water of life to a thirsty soul. To hear that Christ was made a curse on your behalf because you were under the curse. That's the only remedy that you could ever have. The only hope that you ever could have to get out from under the curse. Not only the curse of the law of sin and death, but the curse that is accompanied with not keeping the conditional moral law of God. God redeemed you from from the curse of all of those things. He was made a curse on your behalf because you could not bear the wrath of the curse yourself. You could not be justified to get out from under that curse in the eyes of God. It took the perfect sacrifice of and payment of God, of Jesus' blood, the blood of Christ, in order to get you out from under that curse. And once He got you out from under that curse, you'll not be hurt by it anymore. But yet, we still die, don't we? You ever ask yourself that question? You ever ask yourself, Romans 8, let's go there. There, in verse 1, there is therefore now. Now, that means right now. No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's not, again, don't get to thinking that that's a condition that you have to meet in order to receive no condemnation. If you're in Christ Jesus, he tells us later that if the Spirit dwells in you, you're not in the flesh. So it takes the power of God in regeneration to do that. Y'all got that? Y'all got that it takes the Spirit of God to blow upon a man's soul and heart, and God, the operation of God to change your heart to get you to that state of justification in God's eyes. It doesn't take anything on your part. I don't care how small it is. I don't care whether it's someone telling you, you have to accept. My friend, we're made accepted in the Beloved. In Him. That positional word, in Christ. There's therefore now. Why is it now? Because Christ has come and He has taken what He was given by God. That bride that He gave Him, His elect family, those that He gave to Him before the foundation of the world, and He came and He sacrificed for them on their behalf because they could not. We had nothing to pay. We had no currency to satisfy the justice or to abate the judgment of God, but Christ did. Christ had the only currency that God would accept. And He accepted it. Aren't you happy? Aren't you? It's a sad thing to think about, but a glorious thing that Christ was made a curse for us. In another place, Paul says that He was made to be sin for us. Who had no sin, He had no reason for Him to come and die on a cross. He had no He was not under the curse of law of sin and death, was He? But He took that curse on your behalf so that you would not have to pay the penalty of the curse. He paid the penalty for you. He paid the penalty for you. He suffered the wrath of divine judgment so that you wouldn't have to. Amen. And to flaunt that out among God's people, to tell them that they had to do something to make His blood effective, flies all over the grace of God. Paul tells the Galatians later, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness be of the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You know, the ceremonial laws, Paul says, they're just a figure. All those laws that you're studying about right now, Colt, they're just a figure. He says in Hebrews chapter 9, they were a figure of something. They weren't the real thing. They couldn't justify themselves in the eyes of God, no matter how many lambs they slew in sacrifice to God. It could not make them perfect or complete or justified in God, in God's eyes. Every time they slew an animal, it was a declaration that they were under a curse to keep it. And every time they didn't, it was just a proof of their inability. Do y'all see how beautiful? That this is. It's a recurring theme throughout the Scriptures. Of inability and God's ability. The inability of Adam to clothe himself with such an insufficient covering as a fig leaf or apron of fig leaves sewn together. And God slew an animal to clothe him sufficiently. That's the first figure that we have of the sacrifice of Christ and the shedding of blood to fix up what we messed up. You know, there's a lot of ceremonial laws out there that people would make men bound under, and they're no different than God's ceremonial law that He gave them. Not one law that man makes, or there's only one law that God made that superseded the law of sin and death. You remember we preached about that not too long. Well, it's been a couple years. God's two laws. He's only got two. And they're contained in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that's talking, that'd be just like, I'd say, you see Deacon Rousey over there, he's got a green shirt on. Him having a green shirt on don't make him Deacon Rousey. It just lets you know who I'm talking about. It describes him. This describes those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen, here it is. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Does that mean that you're not going to die? You're still going to die corporally, but you know what death you're not going to experience? The second one, the second death, which is banishment from God eternally. And you know what? People ask all the time about some exceptions to the rule. Your mind might be going to Enoch, who was taken by God and did not see death. You're thinking about that, aren't you? How can that be? How it was with Enoch is going to be how it will be with those who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord Jesus. They're going to be taken up in the air. And I guarantee you, Enoch was a sinner, because he's under the law of sin and death. But I tell you one thing, he was not admitted into glory's pure world to behold the face of God in that state. He had to be changed, just like all the ones that are going to be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be changed, even though they might, their bodies will never see corporal or bodily death. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. God's law of life. Oh, death was the law of sin and death was a binding law, wasn't it? It's so binding, it's still binding because we still die. But you know what? The law of the Spirit of life supersedes the law of sin and death. It doesn't take it out of existence. It just supersedes it. It's expressed many different ways in the Scripture. Paul says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Don't you like that? Whatever you messed up, God can fix up. God's law supersedes man's law at all accounts, and every time, in every age. The sacrifice of Christ supersedes whatever law of sin and death that there ever was. It supersedes whatever law that God gave man as obligation to keep, because it's just a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. That's all laws are. Because how many of y'all break the law? I probably broke it this morning driving here. I might have gone 1 or 2 miles over the speed limit. And if I broke that one, I broke them all. In God's eyes. I didn't get caught by the police this morning. Do you think those that broke God's law won't get caught by God? Oh, they will. I tell you what, God catches you and you have nowhere to turn. God apprehends you. You know, that's what they do to criminals, right? Apprehend them. Lay hold of them. Paul told the Philippians, that I may also apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. What he meant was, God's got a hold of me, and I want to grab a hold of him. I tell you that today, because Christ was made a curse for you, lay hold on him and give him thanks for his redeeming you from the works of the law. Redeeming you from the law of sin and death. May God be praised. Tell this story to your friends because it'll help them. It'll help them. If they're under the burden of trying to keep some law, this will help them. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to walk in the paths of righteousness as Christ commanded, and to be in fellowship with this church body as our church family, may God richly bless you, is my prayer.